Morning. It is good to see everybody this morning. I apologize for being late to church. not that I haven't been late to church before, but I was really trying hard to not be late to church. And my muscle memory took over, like I told you, when my other memory stopped working, and I was the frailty of man, right? On the best day of the best effort. really trying hard to get somewhere and end up going somewhere I don't really like going some days. So anyway, that's where we are, and that's kind of how I'm standing here before you this morning, in a whole lot of weakness of the flesh and of sin, naturally speaking. So that being said, we know this morning that as we come out to the house of God looking to worship and wanting to worship and desiring to worship, that prayer is necessary, not only for me, but for one another, for all of us, for the meeting, for the whole, everything that we do, we need to pray for. And when I think about, well, why do we need to pray? Because everything that we have in our whole lives, every minute, every second, every bit of breath, every ounce of our being is from, by, through, to pick an adjective. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ that we have anything that we have in this world. Everything that we have either comes from Him or points back to Him. And we need Him in everything that we do, and we need Him this morning. I'm simply trying to say, I need your prayers this morning. If anything is going to be said, it's going to feed you or give you what you're looking for, and what I desire is to give you some food that you're looking for. I want to tell you something that's going to edify you. In and of myself, I'm not going to be able to do that. I need the Lord. We need the Lord. We need the Lord's Spirit to help us through this whole thing. So pray for me. Pray for each other. I'm going to call your attention this morning to the 23rd Psalm. For the sake of the clerk, I believe that'll be my text. If I go anywhere else, I can't say. I'm pray that I follow the leadership of the Spirit, and I would pray that I ask that you do the same, and ask that I do the same. I know it's a psalm; it's very familiar. I'm going to read it again. It's the Word of God. We can't read it enough. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the 23rd Psalm that we've all probably heard since we was little. Naturally, little. I first heard that psalm in Bible school that we used to have in public school when I was growing up back in maybe kindergarten or first grade. And when I first heard it, I heard it as, the Lord is my shepherd, thou shalt not want. That they was reading it wrong, I guess, because I thought as a little boy I didn't make any sense, because we went to church all the time. I want the Lord. I want the Lord. Right? I want the Lord in my life. That's what I thought as a little boy. What this reads here, though, I believe, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I don't want for anything. I didn't realize that then. I look at that now and I realize in my being, I shall not want. God has provided everything I need. How? But backing up, the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd, I feel like I've got to be a sheep. Right? What do you need a shepherd for? A shepherd has sheep. That's what he does. It's the job of a shepherd. In John chapter 10. Verse 14, he says, these are the words of Jesus, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That says a lot to me right there this morning. That's really good news, that the Lord is my shepherd. How do I know that the Lord is my shepherd? Because I don't want. And I've been shown by the Lord above through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what he was preaching there in John. That's what he came preaching. By that same gospel, it's been brought to light and shown to me through the Spirit that comes down that I'm one of his. It's not because anybody, some man told me. I didn't watch it on TV. I didn't see it somewhere. God had to show it to me. God had to show it to me. He let me know I was a little sheep. Think about sheep. I want to tell you something else so we can set this thing. I want to set this thing a little bit for you, if I may, if the good Lord being my helper. Let's go to Matthew 25. And I'm not going to stay here long, but I want to talk about, the good Lord tells us there's a difference when you're a sheep and when you're a goat. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about goats, but I didn't here to tell you about goats. I came here to tell you about the shepherd. But I want to tell you about goats a little bit. Matthew 25. Am I not there, Daddy? Did I get the wrong verse there? 33. There it is. Got it. Thank you, brother. I was there. And he said, and let's go to 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, who's on his right hand? The sheep. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That lets me know that I'm glad, I'm happy and thankful that the good Lord, there's no difference between us and the goats. We was all goats. I don't know if we was all goats or not, but I know, here's what I do know. Let me say this. Here's what I do know, because I've seen it. We was all dead. We were all dead in trespasses and in sins, and that when Adam sinned, there ain't no difference between any man. Between the greatest man you've ever thought of and the lowest man you've ever thought of, in and of natural selves, we was all dead. Period. Point blank dead. Couldn't do nothing. Eternally gone. Spiritually separated from God. Eternally forever. No hope. That's where we were. Whatever we was dead. The good Lord made choice of us because had he, I can't tell you exactly why he did it or how he did it, but I know he did it. He looked all the way back through time, saw everything we was, and saved us eternally. Because he loved us. Because he made choice of us. Because he had a love for us. He has defined what love is. We've lost the definition of love in the world. It is the most one of the most misused words in the world. That word love. We apply it to everything. I love this. I love that. I love. Do you love? I don't. I don't love. I may like it a little bit, but I may get tired of it. God loved us so much, he sent his only son. His only son. And the son willingly said, sure, because he honored the father. Why? For me. For me. And I believe you. Because you're here this morning. He's put something in your heart that says you want to know more about him because you've got a feeling. Because you know. Because he's made himself evident to you. How does he do that? However he wants to. He's used all kinds of things through time now, but now, through now, in these days, he uses the Son of God by the Spirit. They're not three separate, they're all the same. I don't know how that works either, but there's one God. One God. He's beautiful. It's a miracle that we have. I didn't mean to get too sidetracked here. So, in short, back in this thing to Psalm 23, I wanted to tell you we're all sheep. He's made us sheep through that shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has separated us from this world. Now, the world out there is full of those folks that, it's the world's full of people. The world's full of people. But somewhere along, if not somewhere along the line, back when Adam was born, and then it was Cain, and then it was Abel, and Cain slew Abel, the line didn't continue with Cain. The line did not continue with Cain. Cain's line continued, but our line getting to Christ didn't continue there. Cain was separated and cast out into the world, and his line was talented. They were there in Genesis where they had been given the ability to make music and do all the things that they needed to do to survive because God was merciful to Cain. And he cast Cain out, and that's where we were separated from the world. Spiritually, we've been separated from the world. Naturally, the people, we were separated from the world. They were the sons of men there. That world is the sons of men. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is little sheep, we're separate from the goats. We're different. We can live out there. We can survive out in the world. We can make it in the world. But as little children of God, we can't do the same things that the world does. We're little sheep. Sheep they look like goats a little bit, but if you look at them in the face, you'll see a difference. They're different. Goats will eat anything. Sheep can't eat anything. Goats will run and jump and buck. Sheep don't do that. They're peaceful. They need some help. They'll get scared and wander around. You blow a horn at them, they'll fall over like they're dead. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me. We have a powerful Lord that can stop us and just make us lie down in green pastures. He gives us a good place like the church where we can come and hear the words of God and be amongst the saints. He'll send us that way. He'll make our life that way. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What I find when I come here and when I'm thinking on those things of above and I've set my affections on those things and I've turned off the things of the world and I've come out of the world, I've separated myself from that by God's grace. By God's grace, he's brought me. He's making me to lie down in green pastures. He's leading me beside those. He's leading us beside those still waters. Gives us that peace. It's not a roaring water. It's not a rushing water. No. It's not tumult. It's peaceful. It's calm. It's a rest that comes from the heaven above. It's a gift from the Father that we have when we're blessed and can see these things and can rest in these things. But we have to think on these things. But we can't. We'll go out there and eat a bunch of not sheep food, but goat food, and then we'll get sick, and then it takes us a little bit to get back on our feet because we have natural afflictions, spiritual afflictions. Let's not fall into those temptations. Stay with these green pastures. He's leading me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Makes me feel alive again. Brings me back. I know we have to go out here in the world day after day and contend with what we have to contend with. We're in a spiritual battle every day. Heaven is real. Death is real. Sin is real. Because we sin, we die. Death is real. Hell is real. Heaven is real. God is real. But there is a battle that we are in every day. That's why he tells us from the beginning, from Numbers, I'm numbering you we're preparing for battle. That's why we have armor that he tells us about to put on. That's why we have to make these protections. That's why God prepares a way for us. God does our reconnaissance for us. God's on the lookout. When you got God, you don't need nothing else. You could have the biggest army in the world, Brother Cohen. There's no army could stop the power of God. None. But he's not just a powerful God. He's a gentle God who's our shepherd, who maketh us to lie down in green pastures and leadeth us beside the still waters. You think of something sometimes so powerful, the world has this idea that we have this God just scaring us to death into submission. I don't believe that's true. Do you? I believe we have an all-powerful God. I just told you that. I think he can take care of anything. I think he'll punish us he'll chasten us. But as God's children, he's promised to love us and take care of us and chasten us and correct us. But do so in a right way. Why? Because he's just. You know what that word just means? That means he's got it right. He's legal. He fulfilled the law. He didn't come to destroy the law. We were under a law. That law you hear about in the Old Testament, it was real. There were things that had to be done. There were preparations that had to be made. There were priests that stood in the center where the tabernacle was, who did that all day long. They didn't do anything else. More than likely, I wouldn't think, if they're doing this twice a day, going through that process, if you read about it there. There were sacrifices that had to be made. But there were none of those things that could be done that could atone for the sin that we had to be right with Christ. We were guilty in the law. What was the penalty? The penalty was death and hell. Because we couldn't fulfill it. No man could fulfill it. Because we're full of sin. But God provided the sacrifice. He provided it. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly came and with one drop of his blood paid every bit of that twice a day. They're doing this twice a day. Just the priests for one sin, for one thing. There were so many different types of offerings that needed to be made. Can we imagine, brethren, if we were still under that bondage, which to a certain extent the world is to a point, There's all kinds of doctrines out here that want to take all the glory. We don't like, men don't like giving the glory to God. We got to have, men got to have their hands in the pocket somehow. Either in control from a financial state or a power state or whatever it is. I believe what we hear today in this church and what we've been given in this church and what we've been shown in this church is the true word and gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's what he came preaching when he was sent to this earth to save us. It's what he gave to the apostles to preach. It's what we've been trying to preach since then. It's what's been preached, and there's not a lot of us left, naturally speaking. That means there's a lot of people out here working hard. Or hardly working. The good people out here. I say good by man's standards. There's none good. No, not one. There's none of us that are good. We can't forget that either. Because we've been shown some stuff in here. We've been shown some stuff. We've been called to light. We've been given the word of God. We've been able to open it and see, Lord, what do I do? What would thou have me to do? We can go to the book. Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 2 Peter, chapter 2, chapter 1, excuse me, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. We know We have a more sure word of prophecy with the written word. The full Old Testament, New Testament word of God has been given to us. And it's right here. And we're preaching it here. It's being preached here. There's instruction being given inside of it. And we should be thankful for that by the grace of God that it's still being preached. Where we can still come and hear the true word. I hope and pray. And I know that the Lord's going to keep it on this earth until he comes home to take it from us. Not take it from us, but take us home. What we have here, is if you look at 2 Peter, what I believe he's talking about, chapter 1, verse 11. Let's back up to verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, which we talked about, an election, because he chose us. Sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're starting on eternal life now. Right here. On this earth. So when we die, it's a passing through. We're just going to keep on living. It's a thing that we have. It's a beautiful thing that we have to come out to the house of the Lord and be amongst his people. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the sound of the gospel. I ask that you pardon me. I'm asking the Lord to forgive my sins because I know what's in my heart. I know what I believe in my heart. I'm cursed with a tongue. My tongue is a whole thing on James. I'm not going to say nothing else about Scripture today. But I'm going to tell you, I know it's in my heart, and I know what I believe, and I know it's true. And sometimes I can't say it exactly how I want to say it, or give it to you exactly how I want to give it to you. Sometimes I preach real good in the car all by myself to the trees. But I believe he's given us a blessing in that too, don't you? I think he established the covenant with Noah and gave us creation to where we just sit out and look at the trees. I know Brother Hilton talked about it. He used Brother Andy Hilton, long preacher, long ago, said he used to preach to his mules. I preach to the trees. But I hope you hear, and I hope it touches you. I hope it moves you. I hope you can see it. I hope God showed it to you. I hope you've seen how good it is. Because it's wonderful. This is a wonderful place to be. And if you ain't here and you want to be, you come on home. None of us know what we're doing. We're just trying real hard. We know what we're doing through the Lord. I can tell you that. We got answers for that. See, there's that old tongue getting me in trouble. I'm getting out the way. Y'all pray for me. God bless you. I love y'all. I'm sorry if I made a mess with that.
No.
You can't mess them up.
Sing a verse of number one.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the
morning. Thank the Lord for what we've heard from the 23rd Psalm. He indeed is our shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Lord who has also made us his sheep. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And if it were not for the grace of Almighty God, we would be by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And there would be no change that takes place in their lives. I believe the Lord's made a difference in us. I believe he's arrested us by his grace. I believe he's found us in the waste howling wilderness. I believe he's lifted us up and put our feet upon a rock. I believe he's put a new song in our mouth, even praises unto God, which allows us to want to make an effort to stand before the Lord's people and declare unto them how great things the Lord has done for you, so that they might hear and understand and know the truth of what the Lord has done. And indeed, he's a mighty, mighty God. Pray for us as we stand before you, because without the Lord, as Brother Jimmy's already mentioned, there is no preaching that happens without the Lord. And so if there ever is any preaching, we know to give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory for that. I also know that as ministers, we can't really tell when we've preached or when we haven't. We can't really make a good assessment of that. That's come from years of thinking about it and years of making an effort to stand before the Lord's people. And the Bible also teaches us that we don't know anything as we ought to know. And if we think we know anything, we need to back up
Amen.
And learn something.
Ain't that the truth?
So we just have to come before God's people and express that which the Lord's laid on our heart and trust the Lord to take that and supply it and apply it to those of his children, sometimes in a way that we know about and sometimes in a way we never know about. Doesn't hinder God, does it? But he's not hindered
no.
today.
Amen.
Our God is able. Our
Amen.
God is mighty. Mighty to save. Full of power, full of glory. Full of wisdom, full of mercy, full of love, full of compassion, full of wrath. It's hard to get all that encompassed in the idea and the thought of what kind of God it is we serve, but he indeed is all that. We would be deserving today of his wrath and could expect Amen. Nothing else
That's
if it
right.
were not for his grace and his mercy. And if it were not for his love, there would be no grace and mercy
right.
applied unto us. But God is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. In other words, the mercy he has is ours. He's rich in mercy, but it's ours because he loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, he has quickened us together by grace. you're saved. So grace saved us because of his mercy, but that all came from his love. He loved us with an everlasting, unconditional, eternal love, even before the foundation of the world. God knowing everything, that is, everything about me, when I know about myself, that sometimes causes me to wonder, how could anybody love me? And I almost don't want other folks to know about me because I feel like they wouldn't love me either if they knew everything I thought and everything I did. But you know, the God that we serve knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet he still has loved us. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And gave his son, that's how much he loved us. Which of you mothers would take a son of yours and give him for someone else? Which of you fathers would allow one of your children to be taken from you and their life taken so someone else could live? And you'd do everything you could to stop that in your power. But God's love for his people was such that did God love the Son? Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was one with the Son. I don't understand all about that, but I like to talk about it. The God of heaven is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. God the Word. And in the beginning, the Word is the Son, because in the beginning was the Word, and
Amen.
The Word was with God, and
Amen.
The Word was God.
Amen.
And God in the person of the Son made all there is, all therein that was made. And yet that love, he laid on the bosom of the Father, the eternal Son of God, the eternal Father, and yet he had a love enough that he sent his Son, and the Son said, I love him enough that I'll come. I'll do. Father sent the Son. Well, not against his will, and according to his will, but and the Son was in agreement with the Father. He said, I do nothing except that which is given to me of my Father. That didn't mean he was less. Jesus wasn't less than the Father. He had just taken he had taken that position. He had humbled himself so that he would do everything the Father said was necessary for it to be done in order for us to have a righteousness that would suit heaven. In other words, it's not just about getting rid of your sins. It's about making you righteous. We had to have a double deliverance. It wasn't just about how I get rid of this sin. It's about how do I get right enough with God in order to be with God. And the answer to that, with me, it is impossible. With men, it is impossible. That is why I can't give you a prayer to pray that makes you righteous enough, or give you some set of rules that you're to follow to get you righteous enough, or give you some plan or some a way to go about it so you can get right enough. The only righteousness that will fit us for heaven is the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that has to be imputed to you. And also your sins, which we have committed, have to not be imputed to you. Now how can God, who's holy and righteous and just and good, just say, well, I'm not going to give them what they deserve? Because someone had to take what we deserve in order that we would not be given it. And the someone just couldn't be any old willy-nilly person. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. It had to be a sinless offering. It had to be without spot and without blemish. It had to have perfection.
Right.
It had to be a sacrifice like all the lambs and all of the offerings that were given in the Old Testament pointed to. It had to be the very best that could be offered. But none of those lambs or turtle doves or goats or whatever offerings were offered never moved one sin one iota.
No, sir.
They were really done to point out that we were sinful and needed saving. And it also pointed out that there was one who was going to come to do that very thing that God sent him to do, that he agreed with the Father in covenant before the foundation of the world that he would do, and that is that he would come for his sheep. They were his sheep. And he loved them. And he sent his Son to die for the sheep. That's what the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He didn't give his life in order to hope to make some goats, some sheep. He gave his life to die for the sheep. The sheep were known of him As we know from the scripture, the foundation of God standeth sure, and it has this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows every one of them. There won't be a little baby that dies without seeing the light of day that belongs to the Lord, that will not be called effectually in its mother's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. No preacher can reach them. No Sunday school teacher can reach them. No mama or daddy can reach them. Even if they wanted to and knew about it, they couldn't. But God in his holy power speaks life to them even in a mother's womb. When they are naturally alive in the mother's womb, he speaks life to them and he quickens them. That's why some of God's little children come into this world not understanding that everybody doesn't know there's a God, because they've known it from the time they were delivered into the light of this world, because God had quickened them in the mother's womb. We have proof of that in the person of John the Baptist, who leaped for joy in his mother's womb. He didn't just kick. He leaped for joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. He was born of the Spirit of God, and he was made alive. And there, he leaped for joy in his mother's womb. And that little baby really didn't have to be taught by anybody to know the Lord. By the way, you can't really teach a man to know the Lord in a spiritual sense. It takes God to do that. Now, you can bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm thankful to see these little young ones here today. That's what you're doing. You're bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You can show them that you love the Lord. You can show them that you believe in the Lord. You can show them that this is important. You can teach them those good moral lessons that the Bible gives. But spiritually, you cannot make the dead alive. It takes the Lord to do that. But I'll tell you, when the Lord does it, he doesn't try to do it. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't leave it up to you to try to get it done. Aren't you glad, mamas, daddies, that it's not your job to make your children children of God, but the God of heaven is able to do that? And he does it just as he did John the Baptist, and just as he did when he stood at the grave of Lazarus. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." I'm telling you, that was a dead man that heard. And the only one that can hear the voice of someone, the only dead thing a dead man can hear, is the voice of the powerful Son of God who speaks life to the dead.
That's right.
And he has life-giving power. He's the bread of life.
Yeah.
He's the bread of life. That means he's the source of life and he's the sustainer of life. That's why you need to be here today. That's why I need to be here, because we feed on the bread of life. We feed on his word. The reason we feed on his word is because he's made us alive and you're hungry. Do you love these things? Does it fit into your life? Does it fit your need? Or do you have a hunger and thirst? Babies have a hunger and a thirst because they're living. They've been made alive. If you hunger and thirst after spiritual things, that proves that you're not a natural man. Because a natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible says they are foolishness unto him and her. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. That means God has to give you the understanding. God has to give that to you. And when the Lord does quicken you, and the Lord does make you alive, then some of those lessons, mom and daddy, that didn't make too much sense to you, start making a lot of sense. Some of those things grandma says to you as you're walking along the road at one time might not have made much sense to you, but now it does start making sense. Sometimes you saw that old preacher in the stand and he was talking about this and talking about that and telling you stories about things a long time ago. All of a sudden those stories cease to be stories and they start to be the truth. They have been the truth all along, but they become the truth to you. Isn't it good when it becomes the truth? When it becomes my story.
Right.
The little sister said, "This is my story. This is my song." When it becomes my story, when he becomes my salvation, he is my salvation, but he's going to become, at time, he becomes my salvation. That means it becomes real to me. I can feel it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can sing that, and it sounds, the tune is a snappy little tune, and it sounds all real good, but when you really feel what a sinner you are, what a sinner you are by nature and where you would be if it were not for God's grace. And the Lord brings that home to you and you begin to see, I'm lost and I'm undone and He's angry with me. But now His anger has been turned away and the God who was angry with me has now comforted me. He gives me comfort. The one that was angry. Now, He never really was angry, but in your perception, because He's always loved you. Even when you were out there running around, you know, God doesn't change. That's one thing about God. He's immutable. That means He does not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Lord does not change. He changes not. He's the same. Yes, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not, does not, will, and will never. And if He would ever change, He would cease to be the perfect God that He is. Because He's perfect. Right. You know why we need to change? Because we're imperfect. And therefore, I need to repent from some things and start doing some other things. But God doesn't have to repent. You know why? Because He does everything right the first time. He's a righteous and holy and omnipotent God who changes not. And so He looks down upon His children and He loves them. He loves them. And He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son. And the Son came and died for us. And then in time the Holy Spirit comes and quickens us. And you know who he will quicken? Everyone that He foreknew and loved in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. Everyone that Jesus died for on the cross and paid the sin debt for. We were legally saved when Jesus died on the cross. Amen. It was done. It is finished. Amen. It's a finished work. It is finished. Oh, thanks be to God, that work is finished. He removed our sins as far as Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west. He's removed our transgressions from us. That is where He took our sins away. And what He gave us, though, was His righteousness. He gave us His righteousness. Romans 4 tells us He gave us, He imputed unto us His righteousness. And he quotes Psalm 32 there. In Romans 4, He quotes Psalm 32 that tells us, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I said to you this morning, as a little lamb, as a little sheep, you've been blessed. You know why? Because he says, Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How can my sin be covered? Not who covers up their sin. Proverbs 28 tells us that we're not blessed when we cover up our sins, but we're blessed when we confess our sins. But what's beautiful is, it's not about us covering up our sins. That's what the world is about, trying to cover up our sin, trying to get good enough, trying to present ourselves good enough. It's just a cover. We can't cover our sins, but I'll tell you who did. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. It's been done for them. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. In other words, he didn't charge you with that iniquity. Why? Because he gave that to Jesus.
Right.
And he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 says it in words that if you read it and God opened your eyes to it, tears ought to roll down our face as we think about how he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have done what? Gone astray.
Amen.
Get back on the sheep.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what sheep do.
That's what they do.
That's why they need a shepherd.
Amen.
And our shepherd became our sacrifice and gave his life in our room instead that
That's
we
right.
might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
He said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity and in whose spirit there is no guile. That means no deceit. We think about that for a moment. We said, you mean you're talking about me not having any hypocrisy, no deceit? There's deceit all about me. Sometimes I'm saying, how are you doing? I'm doing okay. And I'd be feeling a whole other way. Somebody said, are we okay together? You know, is everything okay? And I'll say, yeah, everything's okay. And at the same time, be holding a grudge or holding something against. Y'all don't do that, do you ever?
No.
Y'all never do that. Yeah, you do. We all do it. You know how I know we all do it? Because the Bible says, when I would do good, I find evil is present with me. That's the Apostle Paul saying that. And that's not only true of the Apostle Paul, it's true of all of us. For all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then he says, but in whose spirit there is no God. What does that mean? That means God has worked in me, in the person of the new man, the ability to do better. That which sinneth not, in this person of the new birth and regeneration, I have a spirit within me that leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Isn't it good to know?
Yes.
That you have in your heart? This word tells us what that spirit tells us in our heart. But this word gives it to us so that we can identify the spirit. We have the word that teaches us the same truth that's already written on your heart by the power of Almighty God. That's why when you hear the truth as a little lamb of God, as a little sheep of God, you may not understand all about it, but you can say, oh, I know that's the truth.
Yeah.
How do you know that's the truth? And one brother said, I know my daddy's my daddy because I just know it. He's my daddy. I know he's my daddy. Nobody has to tell me he's my daddy. He's my daddy. And I'm telling you, the way we know the things of God many times is we know that. That's why when we hear false things, you got a spirit in you that tells you, oh, that ain't right.
That's right.
I may not know what's wrong with it, but that's an uncertain sound. And it's an uncertain sound to tell God's little children that your salvation is a work between you and the Lord.
That's right.
And you got to get your part done. And if you don't get part done, he can't do his part. That just, does that ring? How does that ring in your heart?
That don't ring.
Even when you hear it, I hear men sometimes, and I think good men. I believe godly men. I believe men that will be with the Lord, but they'll say things like, God wants to do this, or God wants to do that, or God's doing his very best to get this done or that done. And they don't realize, evidently, that they're belittling the God of heaven who speaks and it stands fast. Our God's in the heavens, right? Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
And he's done what? Whatever he pleases. You want to know why he loved us? Because he wanted to. You know why he's going to carry us to glory? Because he wants to. He desires to. It is his will to. Let me put it in biblical language. He purposed to do it according to the good pleasure of his own will. And he's able to do all things. And here's the good thing, good news. Everything he does is good and right.
Yeah.
And on time, all the time. That's the God we serve. He said here, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old. Verse 3. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. That is a little child of God. You want to see a little child of God trying to live in this world? Look at verses 3 and 4. You'll see a little born again child of God trying to get along in the world, trying to live in the world, trying to behave in this world like God hadn't done anything for him. He's not praising God. He's not honoring God. Though he's been born of the Spirit, he wants to live like the world, act like the world, and talk like the world, and think he's going to get along okay.
Yeah.
Listen what David said happened when he got away from the things of God. This is David speaking here. It's a psalm of David.
Yeah.
He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I've seen young men look old because they've been trying to live in a way where they've forgotten God and want to go another course. And I'll tell you how much God lets them do that. They can do it, but he'll whip them all the way. He doesn't make you by grabbing you by the nape of the neck and pulling you in and making me lie down in green pastures, but he'll sure make you want to. He'll sure teach you that you ought to. He'll sure give you, what will happen is when I kept silence, see, he allowed him and suffered him to keep silence, but when he did, in other words, the praise of God wasn't in my life. It wasn't in my lips, though I ought to have been praising him. This is David. When David got away from the things of God, tried to cover up his sin, tried to live his life like everything was okay, I'm telling you what he said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand, whose hand? God's hand, was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the dry of summer. Oh, when we get away from the things of God, don't go there. And he says, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. The Lord teaches each one of us every day. In the prayer, when they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, Jesus said, we're to say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Luke 11 tells us that wherever he's given us that, what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Really what it is the model prayer the Lord's given us. It wasn't the prayer that he needed to pray because he never had to pray, forgive us our debts. You know why? Because he didn't have any. But you and I need to pray, don't we? In other words, I'm to confess my sins. And he says, when if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just. How is he faithful? Because he keeps his promises. And how is he just? Because Jesus died on the cross so that you might say, Lord, forgive me. And God can justly forgive you. And in your heart and in your mind and in the court of your heart, you can feel peace with God. Even though you sin and come short. Amen. And do it over and over again.
Yeah.
And what he's saying here is that we're to do that daily.
Yes.
For thou shalt, for this, and this is the verse I wanted to get to. We're going to close with this. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And then we've got a couple little words there that I skipped over, and I don't want to skip over them. That's a Selah. That Selah means you stop and think about this. This isn't something to read quickly and just pass over. It's something to meditate upon. He says, you think about how good God's been to you.
Yeah.
And you see that Selah, and you'll find it throughout the Psalms. That's a verse where the Lord is kind of like saying, stop here and think about this. For this shall everyone that is godly. You know who's godly? Those God's touched. If it's that little baby in his mother's womb when the Lord touches it, or whether it's a thief when he's dying on the cross. A godly man died on the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why he was godly? He was a thief all of his life. But you know why he was godly? Because the Lord Jesus Christ touched his heart on the cross, and he set him apart, and he washed him in his own blood. And what he died for, the one he died for on the cross, was a godly man, because he put a spirit in his heart where he cried out, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He wasn't godly in order to be able to, because he said that.
Right.
His saying that gave evidence to the righteousness that was in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know where our godliness is today? It's in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure thankful for that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because when we stand before God, it's not going to be in what we've done for the Lord. It's going to be in what he has done for us.
Amen.
He says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. When is the Lord able to be found? Always, brother. You're right. I'm glad to see. This is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation where he has worked that work in grace in your heart. And if you're calling upon the Lord, he says unto us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not a if, maybe, might be. That means we can come to him. But this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverances. So the Lord has surrounded us. You're in trouble? You got a Lord who surrounded you. I've written in my Bible right here a song that comes to my mind when I read that verse that says, safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in his gentle care. I'm telling you, we have in the Lord Jesus Christ everything that we need. God is my salvation. I'm going to give you the other verse that's on my mind. Verse 3 of Isaiah 12. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation.
Amen.
So we have joy. Because of the Lord.
That's right.
Fruit of the Spirit. And when you're in trouble and you have a need, you're thirsty, right? You need something. You need help, right? You don't have to be afraid. The verse before that says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. That's what I usually do. Get afraid. But I can with joy draw water. You know why I can draw water? Because God's given me a bucket. He's given me faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And you draw water from the what? The wells. You know how abundant His grace is? What are the riches of His grace? There's verses that talk about the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace, we have abundant grace. We have sufficient grace. We have grace to meet the need, the trouble, whatever you need, whatever's going on. It may seem too big, but not for God's grace. Listen, our God's not a weak God. No. He's a mighty God. And we draw from the wells, not just one well, but wells. Wherever you are, wherever you need, according to His grace and according to His riches, He'll not withhold anything that's good for us from us. From the wells, get this, of salvation, not salvations, but salvation. You know why?
One.
Because that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved than the precious name of Jesus. May the Lord help us when we need it, and we need it every day, to reach by faith into that access. We have by faith. Romans 5 says we have by faith we have access into this grace wherein we stand. That's really taking Isaiah 12 and bringing it into New Testament terms in Romans 5. And that's why we can glory in tribulation also. That gets into a whole bunch else.
That's all right.
Because all the tribulations work. So when you have some troubles, just remember this. I got the wells of salvation to draw from. And that salvation is Jesus Christ. That's the one we go to, and His grace. Paul said, remove this thorn from my flesh. And he said, "This my grace." He didn't remove the thorn, but he gave him grace sufficient. Right, brother? That's what we need. Grace sufficient. He may not take the back pain away, but He gives us grace sufficient. He may not take this trouble away, but He gives us grace sufficient. And really, with joy, He's already done it. We have victory. It's already won. It's finished. May the Lord help us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, He says, rejoice. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless us. 47. What number?
2 of them call the same number back here.
We got 2 calling the same number.